he says, of utter natural divine genius. I find myself overwhelmed by it. And from birth to death in a single movement, the cycle of life explored in Tippett's fourth and final symphony. Radio 3 live in concert, Friday nights at 7:30.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. We'll be joining Catherine Bott for the early music show in a couple of minutes, but now it's 1 o'clock, time for a summary of the news. The Foreign Secretary William Hague has called for a clear and calm response from the international community to the crisis over North Korea. He said the country hadn't moved or redeployed its forces, which he believes one might see before a military assault. Mr. Hague also said there was no immediate need to withdraw British diplomats from North Korea after Pyongyang said it couldn't guarantee their safety in the event of conflict. The United States has postponed testing a missile designed to carry nuclear warheads to avoid raising tensions further. Labour's deputy leader Harriet Harman has said the party is considering making changes to welfare payments if it's returned to power so that benefits are linked to how much people pay in tax. She said there should be support through a contributory principle. In an article for The Sun on Sunday, David Cameron said that the welfare system had lost its way and benefits had become a lifestyle choice for some people. With a year to go until the Afghan presidential elections, the head of the UN mission in Afghanistan has told the BBC that Afghans want a change in governance and that it's high time to deal with corruption. He says no one expects a perfect election, but he does expect an improvement. The business secretary, Vince Cable, has asked his officials to investigate whether formal proceedings can be brought against three former executives at HBOS who were blamed for the bank's collapse. A parliamentary commission said last week that the three should be barred from working in the financial sector again. Councillors in Derby say the house where Mick and Mairead Philpott killed their six children in a fire is to be demolished. Mick Philpott was jailed for life for manslaughter. His wife was sentenced to 17 years. The local community will be consulted about what to do with the site. An online petition is calling for a memorial garden to be created. And the weather, northern Scotland will remain cloudy with rain, sleet and hill snow. Elsewhere, any sunshine will turn hazy as cloud increases from the west. And that's the BBC News and Weather. Now on Radio 3, it's time for the early music show with Catherine Bott.
Hello. And don't worry, I know that music is several centuries too late for inclusion in the early music show. But the words aren't. The Carmen Burana is a collection of medieval lyrics which took on a new life thanks to the ministrations of Karl Orff in the 1930s. His Carmina Burana, as it tends to be called, is a work for soloists, chorus and orchestra of staggering popularity. The original version is less well known and this can cause confusion. I still remember with a bit of a shudder the late night early music prom many years ago, the Royal Albert Hall stacked to the rafters with an audience, some of whom must have been wondering why there were only a dozen chairs on the stage. Next day, a distinguished critic wrote that the hall had been suspiciously full. But that prom's audience loved the concert, and the original medieval Carmen Burana manuscript is terrific stuff to perform. Passionate, funny, thought-provoking. In today's programme, there'll be examples of all those kinds of songs. But before we hear some of the real thing, a little history. Carmen Burana is Latin for Songs of Bäuerln, the Benedictine monastery in Bavaria where the original manuscript was discovered in 1803. Its poems and dramas date mainly from the 12th century, with a little leeway either side. And a Latin title is appropriate because the majority of the lyrics are in Latin, which was the public and literary language of educated men in the Middle Ages. Some are in Old German and a few in French or Provençal, with a number of the saucier poems in that mixture of tongues now called Macaronic. The manuscript may have been preserved in Bavaria, but the individual poems come from all over Europe, it seems. Who wrote them? Mainly itinerant students and monks with a taste for satirising the church, although there are a few named poets dotted about, like Peter of Blois, Walter of Châtillon, and the anonymous writer referred to as the arch-poet, who may, or may not, have been a member of the unofficial brotherhood of wandering scholars, or Goliards. And if this song is anything to go by, the Goliards debated major issues as they wandered. Right and wrong almost keep in step, and a virtuous man must always consider the merits of compromise.
Passe te fas ambulant, pene passo pari, prodigus non credimit, vitium avari, virtus temperantia, quadam singulari, ebet medium, ad utrumque vitium, caute contemplari. Si legis e memoras, eticam catonis, in quas scriptum legitur, ambulat cum bonis. Cum ad anni gloriam, animum disponis, sopra cetera, primum hoc considera, quisi dignus bonis. Vultulis et hilari, verbulis et blando, si se qualis omnibus, unum tame mano, si vis recta gloriam, promere ridando, primum videas, granum inter palleas, cuid esse quando. Arenando convenit, mannis avitute, unum e secundum quid, set non absolute, digne dare poteris, emereri tute, fama muneris, sive prius moveris, intus et incute. Si prudent atriticum, paleis emundas, fama minis muneres, et caveto domdas, largatatis oleum, valle non ne fundas, inte glorior, cum sin potro potrior, omnibus abundas.
Facet nefas ambulant from the Carmen Burana, performed by the Studio der Frühen Musik, led by Thomas Binkley, one of the first groups of the early music movement to delve deeply into this medieval repertoire. And although any decent Latinist can enjoy reading the poetry, in order to turn it into music, you really do have to delve. The trouble, perhaps I should say the challenge, with this music is the actual written down notes. Because there aren't any. The melodies are notated in staffless neumes, which means no musical stave, just an endless series of tiny tadpoles to give an indication, and no more than that, of where a melody goes up or down. There's no hint of how far up or down either. Neumes were a medieval aid to memory for people who already knew how the music went. As you can imagine, neumes died out quite early on, but 12th and 13th century Bavaria was a bit behind. So what modern musicians and scholars have to do in order to make these wonderful lyrics singable is to mine every possible fully notated contemporary manuscript in search of tunes with the same or similar shapes as the Carmen Burana's tadpoles. And the bliss of it all is that despite there being some concordances that are as plain as the nose on a musicologist's face, no two modern performances will ever, or should ever, agree entirely. One thing we can all agree on, though, some things never change. Songs from the Carmen Burana that comment on human weakness are timelessly pungent. Here's a tub-thumping sermon in which the preacher takes as his text, "Money is the highest and mightiest ruler in the world."
Subus rex, est hoc tempore
domus, domum.
Mirantur reges et infamulantur,
domum.
Venalis favet ordo pontificalis,
domus.
In abbatum cameris regine et dominatum,
domum.
Nigrorum veneratur turba priorum,
domus.
Magnorum fit iud ex consiliorum,
domus.
Bella gerit, nex sigult pax sibiderit,
domus.
Agit lites, cui avut depon ridites, erigidat plenum destercore,
domus.
Et genum omnes,
domus.
Emit venditque, data de data venit,
domus.
Ablatur,
domus.
post blanda minatur,
domus,
mentitur, raroverax referitur,
domus,
per iuros miseros facidet perituros,
domus,
avarorum deus est, et spes cupidorum,
domus,
in errorem mulierum ducit amorem.
Domus!
Finales dominas facit imperiales,
domus!
Raptores facit ipsos nobiliores,
domus!
Habet plures quam celum sidera fures. Si numus loquitur. Pauper tacet. Hoc benescitur. Indum immensa sum splendida fervula densa,
nos
laudatos fisces comedit piperatos, francorum vinum, vivit et cui marinum,
nos
famosas vestes gerit, et preciosas,
nos
splendorem dant vestes exteriorem, nullus honoratur sine nummo, nullus amatur, quem genus infamat nomus probus est homo. Clamat.
The Klimenčič consort with some stern Sprechstimme in Terra Sumus Rex from the Carmen of Burana. The manuscript is full of sermons. One imagines clerics getting a lot off their chests with those. I mentioned macaronic songs, texts in more than one language, earlier. This cheeky mix of linguistic characters is mainly reserved for the sort of number that would have been banned by the BBC in its early days if sung by a variety artist. One of the best examples, perhaps to be deplored in 2013 for its appalling sexual politics, is this one, Ich was ein Kind so wohlgetan, performed on this recording by the ensemble Estampie.
Ich was ein Kind so wohlgetan, wie Blut und Floriban, du brichst mich nie mehr, weil Lachen, ich muss mir zählen. Oje, oje, male die Kantortille, jungs da wie ein Positiv, male die Kantortille, jungs da wie ein Positiv. Jawohl, die haben die Wiesen, dann Flores an du Dare, du wollte dich hin.
Der Wächter habe aus Blut, sie hätte noch Not.
Oje, oje,
Klavieren hab ich meine Herfel an, Timpan und Kumlieren.
A medieval take on If You Go Down to the Woods Today, You're Sure of a Big Surprise. Estampi with a song of lost innocence from the Carmina Burana. Along with the conjectural element in the melodies, there is, of course, endless room for manoeuvre when it comes to the scoring of these songs. Taste and appropriateness come into it, of course, but this is wonderful repertoire for anyone who delights in the whole panoply of medieval instruments. Back in the 1980s, Philip Pickett and the New London Consort recorded every piece from the manuscript that could be plausibly matched with a tune from elsewhere. At that time, 4 CDs worth of music. Among the Consort's instrumentalists were many very recognisable names. Pavlo Beznosyuk, the Heifetz of the medieval fiddle. The late and never surpassed oud and gitan player Tom Finucane. Harpist Andrew Lawrence King, recorder player William Lyons, rebec player Giles Lewin, lutenist Paula Chateauneuf, percussionist Stephen Henderson. You get the picture. They and others can all be heard in this next sequence of 3 songs, demonstrating very different treatments to match a variety of texts and emotions. The sequence begins with Vacillanti Strutine, in which the singer hovers between love and studying. Then we hear the repentant prayer of a prodigal returned to virtue, vite perdite. And finally, Iove cum Mercurio, which is all about how love is sometimes written in the stars.
Thank you. elegis ut iteram, minus licit et un fregi quod voveram, sed ad vite veseram corrigendum neti, quid vidante perperam puveribis edi. Rerum exitus tum quero dissutere, falsum plenitus ad ero discernere, falso valor opere, pravium si spero, me virtutum etere, vitiatum sero. Non sum duplici perplexus itinere, nec ad idici reflexus avenere, nec radavi temere, coniugis amplexus, dalidam persequere, ne prodetur sexus. Famem sini qua porcorum non abscurit, que ad lubrica errorum non condulit, sed scriptura consulit viam intue morum, que prelarga produlit fabula bonorum. Dum considero quid ire contigerit, finem conferor ad ire quis fuerit, sio vixe vaserit mens corrupta fine, diu quam contraxerit maculam sentine. Preter meritum meneci non dedero, si ad vomitum quenieci redirero, nec ad erbo aspero liberum me feci, servus si serviero vitiorum feci. Die veterici muto vestigia, ire veneris refuto perde via, via nam ferenia curitum intuto, siclis sed Italia semper est inuto. Penis olium sinonis astutiam, convertulium zelonis prudensiam, dir confere sensiam is abutens bonis, ni fugando fugiam dalidam Samsonis. Ergo veniam de rei miseriam,
three Carmina Burana songs from the New London Consort set of the Complete Songs, as things stood 25 years ago anyway. An update on that shortly. Among the singers, you heard me, a soloist in the first song, tenor Andrew King and Simon Grant in the second, and finally a sort of big band number with 11 singers and 10 players that could fit in quite well with Orff's mighty work. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, sharing my initials with the Carmina Burana. And this programme is also available as a download via the Radio 3 website. These reconstructed tunes lend themselves very well to instrumental performance. And to demonstrate that, here's a horribly topical hymn of praise to the coming of spring, Tempus Transit Gelidum, played first by Ensemble Unicorn and Oni Vitas, and then with the lyric performed by Greyston Burgess and Thomas Binkley of Studio der Frühen Musik.
Thank you.
The icy cold is passing, the world is reborn as spring returns. Two interpretations of the haunting Tempus Transit Gelidum from the Carmina Burana. The manuscript contains 254 poems, and thanks partly to Herr Orff, it tends to be associated mainly with bawdy and bacchanalia. Well, drinking and debauchery does feature heavily, but the collection also contains rhetorical dialogues and spiritual dramas. And this is where the ongoingness of this repertoire emerges again. I mentioned earlier that in the late 1980s, people knew about 4 CDs worth of musical material, just under 50 songs. Well, now we're going to hear a mélange of liturgical passion play and outdoor vernacular mystery play that I wish we'd known about back then. The recording by Ensemble Organum of The Great Mystery of the Passion in Latin and Southern German dialect is the result of extensive research by Marcel Perez, and his performing edition has an extraordinarily exotic sound, redolent of the Middle East and deeply emotional. This is the flagellation of Jesus, followed by a dialogue between Jesus and Pilate, the repentance of Judas, and the lamentations of the women of Jerusalem during the Way of the Cross.
Wounded non operis, necis, quia potestatem habeo crucifigerte, et potestatem dimitterne.
Non haberes in me potestatem, nisi de super timidatum fuisse.
Regem vestum crucifigam,
crucifigado, quia filium Dei se fecit.
Videtis
donc Iesus docet onat croce
Tu videlis,
Ensemble Organum, directed by Marcel Perez, in that sequence from the Passiontide drama from the Carmina Burana, demonstrating that fruitful research into the musical possibilities of this great manuscript is still going on. Some ensembles like to go further with those Middle Eastern inflections we just heard, to run with the improvisational possibilities that come from an oral tradition. One such group is Oni Vitas. For our final music, they're joined by Ensemble Unicorn to take us back to where we started, Tempus Est Jocundum. It sometimes seems a shame that there's so little overlap between the early music Carmina Burana and Orff's version, but in both of them, Tempus Est Jocundum makes a pretty rousing ending to a concert. Arousing, even, as you'll hear now. It's another one that's easy to sum up. In spring, a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of... well...
Thank you.
Tempus Est Jocundum from the original Carmina Burana, performed by Ensemble Unicorn and Oni Vitas. Today's early music show is presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Barnaby Gordon. Next Saturday, Catherine will be looking at music marking the ceremonial signing of the Treaty of Utrecht in 1713 with pieces by Handel and William Croft. That's at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news, here on BBC Radio 3.
To the legendary Arthur Rubinstein, she was born to play Chopin. The next Monday lunchtime, Radio 3 lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall is given by the pianist Janina Fiakowska.
I've always approached Chopin from the classical side. I've always seen him as a very classical romantic. And that's why I think the composer, for me, that is most like Chopin in my heart is Mozart. And this is why I love Mozart just as well.
Piano music by Chopin in the Radio 3 lunchtime concert. Tomorrow lunchtime at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Now at 2 o'clock it's time for our Sunday concert, which was recorded on Good Friday. And once again this afternoon we join Catherine Bott.
Welcome to one of the finest examples of perpendicular Gothic English architecture, the chapel of King's College, Cambridge, where I'm sitting under the largest fan-vaulted ceiling in the world. Soon the chapel will be filled with the sounds of English sacred music by Benjamin Britten, Lennox Barclay and Herbert Howells, in a concert that's part of this year's Easter at King's, a festival that's celebrating its ninth year in 2013. The performers are the BBC Concert Orchestra and the Philharmonia Chorus, with mezzo-soprano Catherine Wynne Rogers and tenor John Dashak, all conducted by Stephen Clebury, who, as well as being artistic director of this festival, has now notched up more than 30 years as director of music of the choir of King's College. The concert begins with a work by Benjamin Britten that came about in fairly extraordinary circumstances, his Sinfonia da Requiem. It was commissioned in 1939 by the Japanese government, which was assembling new pieces by various Western composers to celebrate the 2,600th anniversary of the Imperial Dynasty. Britten was in America at the time, self-exiled from home and war by his pacifism. He was entirely unable to oblige with the required festive or triumphal composition, instead taking the opportunity to write something that, as he told his sister, would combine my ideas on war and a memorial for Mum and Pop. The Sinfonia da Requiem has three movements, each with a resonant title from the Latin Mass, Lacrimosa, Dies Irae, and finally Requiem Aeternam. As the work progressed, it seemed that no objections were raised, but the finished article was, perhaps understandably, rejected by the Japanese authorities. It was announced that the work had arrived too late to be rehearsed. Britten was paid for it, and used the money to buy a car. Now the BBC Concert Orchestra leader Cynthia Fleming is in place in the chapel as we welcome Stephen Clebury to conduct Britten's Sinfonia da Requiem.